mighty cover up there. What are my steps in your word? Please, what are my steps in your word?
Humbly I ask thee, teach me your will. While you are working, help me be still. Satan is busy, but God is real. Order my steps in your word. Please order my steps in your word.
Praise the Lord. Let's keep giving God praise. He's ordering our steps. Thank you, Father. Heavenly Father. Oh, Heavenly Father, we love you. Lord, we just praise your holy name, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for guiding us and directing us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing, Lord, with all of the praises offerings that we've been putting up this entire morning, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that the Spirit just will continue to move, Lord. You will continue to let our hearts be receptive to what the Spirit is trying to show us, Lord. So we just thank you, Lord, for the fellowship, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the love. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing for God's miracle church. And we just praise your holy name. We thank you, Lord, that everyone that's under the sound of my voice, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that there's blessings, Lord. There's the abundance, and their steps are being ordered by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we praise you, Father. Oh, we love you. Thank you, Lord. The Holy Spirit. The Spirit is all around us. We thank you, Lord. We receive you, Lord. We open our hearts, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we're entering into your courts, Lord, with our praise. We thank you, Lord, with our repentance, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We love you. We praise you. We honor you. We bow down before you. We thank you, Jesus, for being our Father, for being Elohim. Oh, Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
All right. Happy to be back up here. Turn me down a little bit. Yeah, hear it echo. Okay, so the title of my lesson is Order My Steps. And I'm going to open up by just saying that I love watching movies and TV series that starts from the middle. Is there anyone in here that understands that or like that about a particular movie? When it just starts like at a part in the movie, you're like, what's going on? And you find out it's like the middle of the movie. It's not the beginning, it's not the end. So that's totally what I like to do. And then it brings it back to present day. And then it's occasionally jumping in and out of the past. And then we eventually get to the future or the ending of the movie. So bear with me, saints. In the opening scene, where our lives are even in the middle of the story because of the creation and then how we live our lives, and then we know that there's an ending. So we thank God that we have the Bible. We have the Holy Spirit that he left with us. So we know how the story is going to end, and we also understand and know how the story began. So welcome to the J movie. So imagine, like on the picture on the screen, the actors staring at a tree. Now, because we know the story, we kind of know, like, they're looking at in the garden. They're in the Garden of Eden. They're looking at the tree of knowledge, good and evil. But if you was looking at this movie for the first time, you just see a couple with their backs away from the audience, and they're looking at a tree. So we're just gonna go ahead and assume like we don't know the story. So they're pretty much looks, and then another perspective is that we're not even sure from looking at this particular picture or the start of the opening scene, are they still in the garden or are they outside of the garden looking back at the tree? So it allows the audience to think about, well, what's going on right now? Like, what are these actors and characters feeling? What are they going through? What are they experiencing? And just kind of remember that when we kind of try to apply it to our lives as well. Like, only God really knows what we're going through. Only God knows where we've been and where we're going and what we're looking at and what we're dwelling on and what we're regretting. So just allow yourself to be open to that, that it's okay if you don't really know the entire story so far. So as we continue, just understanding our position and how our lives can be very similar to this visual, now we're just gonna go ahead and move on forward. All right. So I always like to, when the movie has like, I don't know if we have any Star Wars, like, and it's like a long, long, long time ago in a galaxy, and it just goes up the screen. So we're going to now go to a long, 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 long time ago. And we're going to read Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 through 18, so we can kind of understand how what happened, the beginning. All right, so if everyone can turn to Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 through 18. Okay. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also the midst in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four river heads. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one which skirts the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of the land is good. Bdellium and the onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one which goes around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Hiddekel. It is the one which goes toward the east of Assyria. The fourth river is the Euphrates. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." All right. And I'm going to also jump down to verse 25 to give more perspective of this couple. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So in that picture, the Garden of Eden was a utopia environment. It was so peaceful and resourceful. It was everything they needed. And it was even beyond everything they needed. It was everything you could ever want. Like, it was just even the description of onyx and gold. It was beautiful. Now today, we think about if you go to, I don't know if we have any campers, but if you go out into the wilderness, you think about like the trees blooming, the plants, the leaves, the water just clashing against the rocks. And that's a beautiful experience. That's a beautiful sound. So we can kind of relate to beauty as far as being in like the natural landscapes of this earth. But in the Garden of Eden, it was so descriptive of how intentional God made this place for his creations to dwell. I want to go to Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Because this is when it gets kind of tricky. Okay. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." So this was God's standard. It was a divine standard. Now, he allowed them to freely eat and to freely roam. But the word freedom is meaningless without a boundary. Because without a boundary is now chaos. It's chaotic. If you think about I love football or basketball. If you think about football, the players have to understand the rules and regulations, and they have to abide by the boundaries and the limitations that they have to operate to maintain the integrity of the game. So you can't like just decide as a football player, I'm gonna run into the stands and catch the ball. There's rules. But you can freely move within the boundaries as you please. And in this situation, God told the man, I'm gonna say man meaning male and female, but God set a divine standard and what his expectations were on living in this beautiful place that he had created for them. And that you could freely do whatever you wanted to do, but this is the restrictions that you cannot do. So if we also want to look at when you go into a store and you purchase something, you purchase it with the hopes that it's going to benefit your life and it's going to improve something. You need it for a particular reason. But on every device, the manufacturer has a warning label. It's telling you what you can do voltage-wise to keep this device working. It's all of these instructions and procedurals that's included with this device. So although the device can operate the way it was intended to operate, it's still boundaries on what it can do. And so that's how we should look at our life, as a device. We have a warning label, which is the divine standard, but we have the creative freedom and everything that God has put in us to operate in the manner that he wanted us to operate. So if we go down to verses 6 through 10, staying within Genesis chapter 3. Actually, did I? No, I didn't read that. Okay. Yeah, okay. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." So looking at this verse, we know that they were tempted. And in comparison with us, you know, there's constant temptations that we are going through or trying to look past. There's going to be temptations that's going to come in your life. The tree was that symbolic, I guess, the symbolism in this verse of their temptation, the forbidden fruit. Now, in the verses that I just read, God was walking through the garden looking for them. It wasn't that God didn't know where they were. They were unrecognizable, because they didn't look like the divine standard and the image that he created them to be. And their spirit was different, because they were hiding themselves. They took fig leaves because of the knowledge that they came into or what they were exposed to. And they put fig leaves to cover up the most productive parts of them. So God was walking, was like, "Where are you? Because I don't recognize this isn't what I created. And in the response, we're always saying, when we do something that we may have not have should have been exposed to, or just situations we've been put in, we want to hide. We're afraid. We only want people to see what we want them to see. We don't want to expose ourselves because we're not trusting. We're not trusting anymore. We're not allowing ourselves to understand that this environment was created for us. But we took it upon ourselves to allow the enemy or the temptation to dictate who we are. And going outside of that standard, that divine standard. So, like Adam said, I was afraid, I was naked, so I hid. We were made in the image of him. So if we're hiding, and we're hiding in this situation, we're hiding from God, we're not even talking to him. So how can we be ready to talk to anyone else? We're hiding from him. We're hiding behind our jobs. We're hiding behind our anger. We're hiding behind our rage. Even if you're working out or you're exercising, we might be hiding behind that. We may even be just hiding out of something where we're not expressing hurt. We're not expressing our emotions and our feelings. I know that a lot of the situations, sometimes there's situations where a couple might separate, or some couples may not separate. And the father and the mother might say, I stayed. Where if you stayed, that's fine. But did you stay? You stayed physically, but did you stay emotionally? Or did you continue to allow yourself to hide and be afraid and not open up? And that's what God was trying to protect his children from doing, from being exposed illegitimately to something that they should have never experienced. And he's talking to us too. So then the question that I pose is, why would he put a big tree in the middle of their home? Why are we constantly reminded of things that we are potentially weak to? Why is it always there? Why would he put that beautiful tree in the midst of the garden for them to see and then not to be able to touch? It's because he wanted them to be reminded that they are not independent of God. And that's what we need to be reminded. We are not independent of God. We do not operate in our own efforts. We have to depend and trust in God, and we have to acknowledge the divine standard. And when there's times that you want that tree to be moved out your way, you accept that tree, you accept that temptation, and you look to the Father to say, God, help me. Now, the serpent, this guy, we all have people in our lives that want to share their two cents with us, and they want to say, oh, you don't have to worry about that. Or, you really need to be doing this. That's what the serpent was to them. He was this guy. He was this person that wanted to, we definitely know he has some issues, but maybe he has some issues. Maybe sometimes people live vicariously through you. And some of the things that they can't address themselves, they need to feel like they're addressing it on somebody else. Or they're seeing things that they feel like, oh, you should be doing this. And that's fine if it's no problem with people sharing and talking and fellowshipping. But you always have to go back to God. Amen. To make sure, because we are not independent of God, to say, God, what do you want me to understand and take from this situation? What do you want me to understand and take from the situation that the serpent was bringing to my attention in my life? God, can I eat this fruit? How hard would it have been for them to go back? The Father was walking, God was walking in the garden all the time in the cool of the day. It wouldn't have been no issue to say, oh, I hear you. give me 1 second, partner. God, do you want me to eat this tree? Because I really do want to eat this tree. I mean, this apple from this tree. Can I do this? It's nothing to open our mouths and talk to the Father, even when there's other voices in your environment.
That's right.
Or the stuff that you may have been through is still there. And it's in the midst of your life. It's in the midst of your mind. It's in the midst of your hearts. Accept that. Accept that it's there. And then talk to the Father about it. So I'm definitely going to refer to him as this guy. Now, he did say, you shall surely die. Now, in the Bible, I take die as a synonym to separation. So a separation occurred when they stepped outside of the divine standard. And there was an illegitimate separation that happened. Now, I'm going to go ahead and read go to verses 22 through 24, and I'm going to kind of go deeper into the separation synonym. Okay, still staying in chapter 3. Okay. The Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord of God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Now, because he said, you shall surely die, they got kicked out. They got kicked out of the garden. Now, when we think of death, we think of like casket, we think of funerals, we think of like the actual physical separation of the soul from the body. And then the body goes into eternity on that, the soul goes into eternity on that day. Now, Adam continued to walk as a man for about another 100 years. But on that day, a whole series of death, separation took place. And in our lives, if we go outside the standard, the divine standard, there's a lot of separations that can take place. So some of the separations just in this situation that happened, and you know, it could be the same for us. So the first situation that happened was the spiritual separation that occurred. They were in constant contact with God. He was talking to them. He would just they were chilling together. They were spiritual. It was a whole spiritual utopia experience. So by them getting pushed out, that relationship died. A relational separation. Now, I didn't read this actual scripture, but I think we all know that Adam tried to blame Eve, saying, you gave me this woman. So then that caused probably a rift in their relationship. She probably was like, no, you didn't, you know? So that was a relational separation, because I'm sure they was at odds for a little bit, because she probably was like, you don't need to talk to me no more, not right now. So there was some marital problems. There was some blame game. That wasn't cool. And then later on, they had children. The brothers, one of them killed. It was a sibling rivalry. It was a sibling separation. So there was a divide in the family. And then the environment, they got evicted. Adam was a bum. He didn't even have a house. He was homeless. He had a whole family to take care of. Well, he only had her at the time, but that's bum. Like, that's not cool, you know? He was evicted from a beautiful home. Can you imagine the downgrade after that? I know, but even if you work though, I mean, are you gonna really have like an onyx tree? Like, I mean, it's just not gonna be the same. So there wasn't a physical death, like a soul being separated from the body, but there was a lot of separations, that illegitimate separations that occurred because they did not want to remain in the divine standard. So how do we heal this separation? How do we get restored back in our relationship with the Father, which that should be the main purpose in our lives, is through a personal acceptance with God. That's how we do it. So I want to go over to, let's read Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. And I'm almost finished. It's really scripture heavy today. So I just want to also, we've been talking about the Garden of Eden, and now we're shifting over to the New Jerusalem, because Adam was the first man, and Jesus was the son, but he was the last man, but it still is very a correlation between both of them, and how Jesus came to die on the cross for us so that we could be fully restored and walk into our inheritance and the blessings and the entitlement that God always wanted to have us to have. So the choice is ours. So reading Romans chapter 6, 1 through 14. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are under the law. You are not under the law, but under grace. So we just thank God. I mean, it's like, thank God for his grace, thank God for his mercy, is that we don't even have to figure this out. And we don't have to stay mad at Adam anymore. I know there's a lot of people that just want to sucker punch Adam when they get to heaven. We don't have to do that because that's why Jesus came back. You know, I mean, they had to go through some stuff. They had to probably do some mending in their personal relationships, you know, and everybody came after them. But we are in we're in the middle of the story too. So we have the opportunity to live for Christ, to be independent of God. I said it wrong. To be dependent on God and that we're not independent of God. So we can ask God for help when the tree is right in the middle of our lives, in the middle of our homes, when there's confusion, when there's anxiety, when there's depression, when there's, you know, you don't want to, you can't go through life anymore. We do not have to figure this thing out. We can talk to God. We can, he's our friend. He's our father. That's what we can take and learn from the past and try to do things differently. And even if we mess up, keep going back to him. It's not something that we can do in our own strength, in our own effort. So just thank God for ordering our steps. Stop hiding behind your worldly habits, your pleasures. He died so that we could come out with our issues, abuse, addiction, high status, workload, whatever fronts you want to do, or whatever fronts you have in your life. Come out of that and allow him to order your steps. Don't continue to be separated illegitimately from the Father. He's here to provide. God will order our steps. He will show us what to do. We just have to open our mouths and ask God for direction. Amen. So, in conclusion, I just want to just, I'm going to definitely read a few more verses, but we don't own our lives. You know, our only responsibility is to trust God. Amen. And regardless of any circumstances, we have to stay aligned to the divine standard. It's not about what we want to do. Amen. It's not about what feels good to us. Because although it might feel good, it could feel better. You know, it's like when they ate that apple, I'm sure it felt good for a minute. But when they, in hindsight, when they thought about all that they had and what they had lost, did it really feel that good? So, and another thing, even if you take the story of Adam, he never had a childhood. He was thrust into manhood. But he was thrust into manhood with the Father. The Father was teaching him. So even if we have situations where our childhood was taken away from us, I'm hurt. No, my daddy won't dare, you know. Look at Adam. He was a man. He had to make man decisions. He had to figure out this woman that was here that he liked, but he didn't know how to get into that. He couldn't even have a chance for trial and error. His trial and error, the one time he made a trial and error, it was over. So don't use the excuse, because of my limitations or because of my circumstances, I'm limited. Adam came out as a man. And he was given the authority and the responsibility to do God's will. Amen. So have faith and let God just give you his greatness. So I want to end on reading Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Because we don't have to hide anymore. God always wanted us to be hidden in him. And that's what the Garden of Eden was for. It was for it to be our safe haven, to be our home. But the New Jerusalem, we have that now too, so we don't have to go beat up Adam anymore. We can love Adam and appreciate Adam for giving us that insight on how we can be better. Amen. In our role in the middle of the story. So I'm going to read Colossians 3, verses 1 through 11. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. in which you yourselves once walked, when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So just continue to ask God to order your steps. Thank you. Amen.